Hi, I'm Grant Armstrong, and I get to serve as directing pastor here at St. John's United Methodist Church in Edwardsville, Illinois. We exist to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Our desire is to be a beacon of faith and service, focusing our passions and gifts to reflect Christ's love to the world. You're invited to join us each week at 9 a.m. for a time of traditional worship, or at 11 a.m. for contemporary worship. Thanks for joining us for this online version of the sermon.
Please rise as you are able for the reading of the scripture. Our scripture today comes from Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. When Jesus had finished saying all of this to the people, he returned to Capernaum. At that time, the highly valued slave of a Roman officer was sick and near death. When the officer heard about Jesus, he sent some respected Jewish elders to ask him to come and heal his slave. So they earnestly begged Jesus to help the man. "If anyone deserves your help, he does," they said, "for he loves the Jewish people and even built a synagogue for us." So Jesus went with them, but just before they arrived at the house, the officer sent some friends to say, "Lord, don't trouble yourself by coming to my home, for I am not worthy of such an honor. I am not even worthy to come and meet you. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say, 'Go,' and they go, or 'Come,' and they come. And if I say to my slaves, 'Do this,' they do it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to the crowd that was following him, he said, "I tell you, I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel." And when the officer's friends returned to the house, they found the slave completely healed. This is the word of the Lord.
A fourth century historian tells us a little bit about the life of a Roman centurion in the Roman army. The centurion in the infantry is chosen for his size, strength, and dexterity in throwing missile weapons and for his skill with the use of sword and shield. In short, for his expertness in all the exercises. He is to be vigilant, temperate, active, and readier to execute orders than he is to talk. Strict in exercising and keeping up proper discipline among his soldiers, in obliging them to appear clean and well-dressed and to have their arms constantly rubbed and bright. The centurions would lead around 100 men, hence the name. They were mostly soldiers and some who simply served the soldiers. Each centurion of the Roman army had to be approved by the emperor himself. They often attained their position by enlisting as legionnaires at a young age and proving their worth by about their 30s or 40s. They were administrative officers, but also responsible for planning battle strategy. They led from the front, and because of their conspicuous appearance, their helmets looked different, and they carried a staff to designate their authority. Because of their positions, centurions had to be incredibly bold. And with all of that, it also meant that they had a remarkably high mortality rate. These men were highly revered. They feared very little, and humility was not often listed as among their highest strengths. But in today's scripture, we hear about a centurion who felt unworthy to make a request, a personal request of a humble Galilean rabbi named Jesus. That's not the only thing that makes this miracle unique. We'll sometimes read or hear Jesus say, "Your faith has healed you. According to your faith, it is done." Or, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." These are words spoken by Jesus in the context of certain healings in the Bible. And yet we also see miracles and healings taking place to draw people to faith. Miracles come to those who have faith. Miracles happen to instill faith. And so with that, we sometimes wonder, which is it? What comes first? That leads us to our first lesson. Signs are both a response to and a start of faith. They're a response to and a start of faith. When Jesus finished saying these things to the other people, he returned to Capernaum, and at that time, a highly valued slave of a Roman officer was sick and near death. When the officer heard about Jesus, he sent some respected Jewish leaders to ask him to come and heal his slave. They earnestly begged Jesus to help the man. "If anyone deserves your help, he does," they said, "for he loves the Jewish people and even built a synagogue for us." This says Jesus just got done saying some things to people. That leads us to the previous chapter. Jesus said these things in Luke chapter 6. He's telling people, you can notice good trees are good by the type of fruit that they bear. And you can tell that people are good by the fruit that's born out of their lives. You can tell the lives living on faith based on who listens and acts on the teaching of Jesus, based on how they fare through storms. And he did that by talking about homes that were built on sand or on solid foundation. You can't always tell the goodness of something by the way things appear, but you can see the godly fruits of a life lived in faith. How much faith is enough? How much faith is enough? There are times when we think it takes the faith of a saint to experience some sort of miraculous work from God. Maybe we think that we've not been the kind of Christian that we need to be to receive the favor that God might offer in our lives. But that doesn't seem to connect with what Jesus offers us throughout Scripture. It's less to do with the amount of faith we have. It's not necessarily to do with the strength of our faith. It seems more to do with the one in whom we have faith. Faith is much more like a dimmer than a switch, I think. Sometimes we see it as something we've just got or we don't, that it's on or it's off. But I think it's different. On a dimmer, there's a little bit that you can typically adjust a dimmer before the light comes on. You ever notice that? You can move it up a little bit, but it doesn't start the lights to glowing just yet. But then as the dimmer goes up, the resistance to the power decreases and the light grows brighter. With us, there may be a little bit of faith. Our dimmers have started going up a little bit, and God keeps on giving us the opportunity to experience this divine power. But then, as the dimmer in our faith starts going up, at a certain point, we understand that Jesus can save, that Jesus has this power, and the light comes on. At that point, God keeps on giving us these experiences, these opportunities to know God's power. And the more that we're open to it, the less we resist it, the brighter the light of faith becomes in us. Miracles are signs and indicators of God intervening in time and space to bring about a different outcome than what would be usually or naturally expected. These signs like this allow people to have a greater exposure to God's power, to be more open to it, to resist it less, and to let their faith shine a little bit brighter because of what God has done around them. It takes a little faith to recognize and witness God's power, but then once we've seen it, our faith has the power to grow. The faith of this centurion, this Roman officer, was unique, and the gift he received marked a massive change in Jesus' ministry. And that leads to our second lesson. The reach of Jesus goes beyond all barriers. The reach of Jesus goes beyond all barriers. Jesus went to them, but just before they arrived at the house, the officer sent some friends to say, "Lord, don't trouble yourself by coming in. I'm not worthy of such an honor. I'm not worthy to come and meet you. Just say the word where you are, and my servant will be healed. I understand authority. I serve under authority, and I have authority other people. When I am told something, I do it. When I tell other people to do something, they do it." He had an understanding. So the region of Judea had fallen under Roman rule around the year 63 BC. Pompey the Great conquered Jerusalem and entered into the holiest of holies in the temple. Because someone other than a properly cleansed high priest had entered into the inner sanctum, which was considered to be the dwelling place of Israel's God, the temple had been desecrated in their eyes. The Holy Land fell under Roman rule and lost their independence at that time. The Hebrew people then had to pay tribute to Rome. They had to acknowledge Caesar as Lord, which was a religious claim, putting the emperor cult above all other regional and folk worship. They did receive some pretty great advances with the Roman conquest, though it was mostly for the benefit of the Roman citizens. They were kept in line through the power of the Roman soldiers and the Roman legion. Any sort of rebellion would be snuffed out in the most brutal and violent ways by the most powerful military force known on the world at that time. Crucifixion was, of course, a very real and very intentionally visible option available to punish those who would rebel. And so the Roman soldiers were very unpopular, to say the least. who in the world would want to help them? But there was another dynamic at play here. Only those who were of Hebrew or Jewish ethnicity, who were born to a Jewish bloodline, were considered to be truly Jewish at Jesus' time. So even if there was a person from a different background who heard about Yahweh, the God of Israel, and had faith in Israel's God, that person would still not be considered Jewish. They would be considered a God-fearing foreigner, but they couldn't participate fully in the religious life. This particular centurion was God-fearing. Unlike so many of the Roman authorities, this man showed kindness to the conquered Jewish people and even showed generosity by building a synagogue for them. So instead of calling him a dog, as many of the Jewish people did for foreigners, some respected Jewish leaders brought this man's request to Jesus. Although the Roman soldier didn't have the proper results on his 23andMe form, he knew something of Judaism. He had obviously heard something about Jesus, and he didn't have the right breeding, but he did have the right faith. So he sent some ambassadors ahead of him to see what Jesus thought of his request. So it wasn't the officer's religion, but the faith that he held that drew him close to Jesus. And up to this point, Jesus had been healing people who were Jewish. He had been healing in the synagogue. He had been healing people who were of his same faith. But this marked a change. For the first time, Jesus offered healing to someone who was not a part of what he called one of the lost sheep of Israel. Not only someone who wasn't Jewish, but somebody that normally would have been seen as an enemy of the people of Israel at the time. And despite this soldier's, this officer's incredible military authority, though he had no need to approach Jesus with humility, that's exactly what he did. He acknowledged the power of this Galilean rabbi, and because he didn't feel worthy, he trusted Jesus to enact this healing in another really unique way, from far away, from a distance. Often people would draw near to Jesus to experience his power through proximity, but here that changes. This is a Casey Kasem America's Top 40 type of miracle here. It was a long-distance dedication. Physical proximity and physical touch were not limiting factors for the centurion to make the request or for Jesus to fulfill it. That type of reach would have been noticed. But for the centurion, it was accepted as a given based on what he knew about authority and what he knew about this Jesus. And so Jesus did exactly what the centurion knew he could do. There were no boundaries to what Jesus could do. And there are no boundaries to the wonders that Jesus can do today. Our third lesson is this. Jesus says, look at that faith. When Jesus heard this, when he received that message from the centurion's servants, he was amazed. Turning to the crowd that was following him, he said, I tell you, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. And when the officer's friends returned to his house, they found the slave completely healed. Many of these miracle stories include a little jab at the religious elite of Jesus' time. I don't know if you noticed that, but typically it's jabbing people who should know better. One of the first to recognize Jesus' power was a demon in a synagogue. Then you've got a Roman officer who recognized what Jesus is able to do. These unlikely saw and proclaimed the power of God before the people who should have known and who should have seen what to expect in the Messiah that God would send. They spent their lives studying and preparing to identify what is God and what is not of God. But Jesus made a point of showing that even all of his countrymen, even the spiritual leaders of God's chosen people, didn't have the kind of faith that this Roman officer displayed. What keeps us from recognizing God's power? What do we need to unlearn to believe what Jesus can truly do? Do we have to suspend some of our modern conventions and convictions of what is possible? Do we have to forget some of our religious propriety and believe something that could make us appear foolish? Maybe so. Maybe we need to be ready for some of that. But most of all, we need to make sure that we're open to seeing what God would desire for us to see. and to step deeper into that power, to lower our resistance when God does something amazing so that we might grow deeper in that awe and wonder and faith. What a joy that is for us, and what a gift that is for others who have the opportunity to witness the wonders that God can do when we lower our resistance and let God's light shine through us. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we are thankful for the faith of this one who showed us how you break down barriers. Break down barriers of distance, break down barriers of divisions that we build between ourselves. And Lord, we're thankful that because of this, we know we can turn to you in prayer. Even when we're not experiencing your presence, we know that you are with us. Even when we don't see immediate results, we know that you hear and that you care, and out of the abundance of your grace, you respond. And Lord, we know that you are able. You are able to bring about a better outcome, a greater result than what we could possibly imagine from natural and usual consequences. You are still able to do that today. And we're grateful for that, for the hope of that, but above all, for knowing the love that you display through that. Help us to lower our resistance. Let the light of faith grow in us so that you might shine more brightly in this world. We thank you and praise you in Christ's holy name. Amen.